thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your peace, your kindness, your love that you show toward us that we don't deserve, but you do it unconditionally. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord God, for your Holy Spirit who's here with us, who guides us and gives us what belongs to you. We thank you, Lord God, for the word that you've given that strengthen and sustain us through all things that we might encounter in life. We thank you for the blood of Jesus, the blood that came streaming down on Calvary's hill, the blood that covers us, that cleanses us, that cures us, that connects us to you. We thank you, Lord. Father, on tonight, revive, refresh, restore, renew. And we ask you now in the name of Jesus. Let the words of my mouth, Lord God, be the words like a ready writer, like the pen of a ready writer that will be written upon the hearts of the hearers. And I pray that I would have clarity of thought and precision of speech, that the hearers, Lord God, will be able to receive with joy what thus saith the Lord. Father, and I thank you right now for all of them, all of your children, those that you have in your hand, you said no man can pluck out. And I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Father, after you've done what you want to do, if you heal tonight, if you deliver, set free, if you speak a word that will bring and catapult someone into another level of life, Father, we will thank you and praise you. And we'll join in with the many-winged seraphim, the many-eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you are holy. You're holy, God. You're holy. And your glory fills the earth. And we thank you now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I got a title, a thought, a topic, and I want to ask this question because many times we say we believe, but then we have trouble with our belief. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, do you believe? Now ask your other neighbor, say, neighbor, are you a fan? Or follow. Because all they ate was bread and they didn't get fat. All they ate was bread and they didn't die. But guess what? They died later on after 40 years of that. They died later on. They murmured that it wasn't enough bread. And then that's why Jesus said, you know, that bread, that wasn't superior bread. I am the superior bread. I came down from heaven so that you might have life. Amen? Then verse 34, they said, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And he that cometh unto me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now Jesus said, not only am I the bread, but I'm what you're supposed to be drinking too. Amen. And so he says to them, let's go on down a little bit further to about verse number 41. And so the Jews, they begin to murmur at him. Because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. You know how it is. You know, people don't want you to be who God called you to be. They don't want you to be what God called you to be. They want you to take off your, you know, your. He wants you to take off your preacher. They want you to take off your choir member. They want you to take off your deacon. And they want you to be just like them. Don't preach to me because I know who you are. Come on and say amen. And that's how the Jews were. And it said, no man, Jesus said this in verse 43. Jesus said, answered unto them, murmur not among yourselves. Don't talk to, among yourselves because Jesus knew what was going on. And he said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him and raise him up in the last day. Now, we look at that word draw. To many of us, that means that means an attraction. That means that, oh, God does something attractive and that makes me want to serve him. But what about when God don't do something attractive? Lord have mercy here. Because sometimes you go through hell, but somehow you come out wanting to serve God. Sometimes you have lack in your life, but then you say, I need to get closer to God. So it's not something always attractive, but it's something that it doesn't attract me. But this thing, this word is a word, it means to impel me, not to attract me. So God is not trying to give me goodies and lure me in, you know. giving me gingerbread and I follow the trail until I get to his house. That's not what God is doing. This word impel is in the sense of the word on which Lot was taken and his family was taken out of Sodom when the angels grabbed him by the arm and pulled him out of there. I wish I had somebody here. In other words, Jesus was saying that you can't come out of sin except the Father grabs you and pulls you out of sin. I wish I had somebody. You can't come out of the mess and the stress and being depressed unless God grabs you and pulls you out of it. I wish I had a few people in the house. So if God grabs you and pulls you out, how much work do we really do? We don't do much at all. All we do is follow. All we do is do it. Go where he says go. Do what he says do. I wish I had a few people. And so Jesus was letting them know in verse 44. He said, you can't come out except the Father bring you out. And he said, and not only will he bring you out, but he'll raise you up no matter what happens to you. He's going to raise you up in the last day. Amen. Amen. He's going to lead us out of this stuff. But we can't be led if we are not willing to follow. Okay, let's go back to Lot, right? He grabbed Lot and he take him out. The angels takes him out of Sodom because Sodom is about to be destroyed. But his wife looks back. That goes to show you, unless you're willing to follow. Unless you're willing to give him your full, undivided attention and can't be looking back at Sodom. You can't be looking at what you had at Sodom. You can't be looking at your friends in Sodom. You got to just keep on going. You got to let the world behind me. Heaven in view. Come on and say amen. So he goes down. Let's go on, skip down a little bit. And he says in verse 48, he said, I'm the bread, that bread. Jesus said, I am that bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and guess what? They did. They died. Oh, they ate it. Yeah, it fell down from heaven, and they called it, what is this? Because they really didn't know. Jesus was saying, I'm telling you what it is. It's me. I'm the bread. I'm the true bread. Oh, come on and say amen. So he said that in verse 48, he's telling them that he's the superior bread. He's superior to manna. But then we go on to verse 50, and he says, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, and that a man may eat thereof and not die. But then he says, I am the living bread which came down, and if a man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. So look at Jesus. I like what Jesus is doing. He, you know, many of us would have got up and walked out of church because he's repeating himself. He keeps saying, I'm the bread. He said, if you eat, you'll live. I'm the bread. The message didn't change. His sermon was the same thing, and people were still trying to figure out what he was saying, and he kept repeating himself. He did that because he knew they wasn't getting it. Amen. And so he says now, he says in verse number 52, and the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how could this man give us his flesh to eat? So the Jews, you had a group of them that was saying, we think it's a parable because he know he talks in parables. And then there was other ones saying, no, he ain't talking no parable. He want us to eat his flesh. So they start arguing among themselves. And you know, when you speak a word from God, many times the natural people don't understand it. The carnal-minded people don't want to buy into it. Oh, come on and say amen now. And so you can't, don't get bothered, Pastor, whenever the carnal people don't want to get it, when the carnal people don't want to go along, they don't want to follow. It's because they're blinded to whatever it is because they don't have the Spirit of God to understand. So, in other words, what happened is Jesus challenged them to eat of his body. Yeah. He challenged them to do it, but instead of them accepting the challenge, they criticized him. All right. Oh, my God. Pastor, sometimes you challenge people. Sometimes we challenge our family. Sometimes we challenge the church, and then they criticize the challenge. And they don't realize that the challenge is not the challenge that I'm giving, but the challenge is for you to believe. Amen. Amen. So let's look on. Let's go on and try to get finished. I'm going to try to get to it. And so he says in verse 60, he says, now he's in Capernaum now. He said, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. who can hear it? The Jews got to the disciples too. When they heard the Jews arguing, because these are the religious folks, these are the church-going folk, and when they heard them confused, the disciples, now you've been following all this time, and now you're having a hard time following. You've been going all this time, and now you're having a hard time with what he said. So the disciples begin to complain. Their complaints turned into contempt, and they stopped following him because they couldn't go along with what he said. Amen? So when you're just a fan, you fail to follow through with commitment because it's not what you want. See, a lot of times whenever we're just fans of Christ, when we just say, oh, go, Jesus, go, when we that kind of Christian, then we fail to commit to him because he sometimes challenges us to do stuff our flesh don't want to do. Sometimes challenges us that we don't want to put no more money in the pot because we need a little bit extra for the church. But sometimes we don't want to do what he tells us to do because we try to rebuke the thing that he said do, and we know that it wasn't the devil, and we trying to rebuke God. You know God is not going to tell you to forgive somebody that talked about you. You know God is not going to tell you to go over there and bless their life. Satan is not going to tell you to go over there and bless their life. But you keep saying, that can't be God because that woman don't like me. And that's right, she don't like you. But the Bible says, give them water when they're thirsty, bread when they're hungry, for this heaps hot coals upon their head. Oh, come on and say amen. In other words, in their mind, their conscience is seared, and then God can start dealing with them, and they'll leave you alone. But instead of that, we avoid them in Walmart. Instead of that, we talk about them with our friends. Instead of that, we hope and wish and pray bad on them. I wish I had a few people in the house that said, preacher, you talking to us? Because I'm sure talking to me. Amen. So we fail to commit. We fail to commit. Now notice what he did. He said here, he says verse 61, he says, what offend you? The word offend now is the word trip. It's scandalizo in the Greek. It's the word trip. Did what I say trip you up? Did what I say cause you to fall by the wayside? Did what I say cause you to miss the mark? Did what I say cause you to stop believing? In other words, when something trips, just think about this. When you have some internal things in your electrical box here, that if something happens, it'll trip the breaker. Right? And if it trips the breaker, that means that the power won't be able to come to the area in the building in which that breaker services, right? And so sometimes when God says something to us and we start to trip, that means that we don't have the power flowing through us because there's a disconnect in our life. Come on and say amen now. And because we don't believe, we have a disconnect, because our connection is faith. The Bible said without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I don't know about you, but I can't afford to trip out. I can't afford, because I got power that's coming through me. And not only that, somebody's relying on what's coming through me. Somebody's relying on that power. And so if I'm tripping out, that means somebody ain't getting some light. That means somebody can't get a charge. I wish I had somebody in the house. If you are a Christian, you need to make sure you don't trip out, because somebody at work needs you, because they need to hook up and charge their life up to you. They need to be able to see the light of the world. I wish I had a few people in the house that say, I'm not tripping. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, are you tripping tonight? I'm not tripping because I believe what he said. I'm not tripping because I know what he can do. I'm not tripping because I'm connected to the power source. He said, I'm the bread. I give life. I'm the source of life. You know how it is whenever we begin that when we start to eat something, we're eating it because number one, we want it to taste good. Number two, we want it to fill us up, but we also want it to give us some decent nourishment. All that stuff we feeding our children today is the same way in the church. Come on and say amen. We go feed them that stuff that don't have no nutrition at all. We feed them McDonald's and Burger King every day. Give them a nugget meal, give them a wiener or something, and that has no nutrition at all. And we wonder why we develop health problems early in life rather than later in life. I wish I had somebody that has no nutrition. And now we have preachers in the pulpit not feeding people with good nutrition. They're not feeding people with what it takes for them to grow and have a good, healthy life. And we're not feeding them Jesus. We're feeding them what we heard on TBN. We're feeding them what somebody said on the internet. We're feeding them off YouTube. I wish I had somebody in the house. We need to get in God's face and say, Lord, I need a word, because the people need to be fed. And when we feed the people will grow. When we feed the people, they'll believe. When we feed the people. Hallelujah. I'm going to get out of your way. Just give me a few minutes here. Just a few minutes here. He says that, he said that in verse number 63, he said, but it is the spirit that quickened it. The flesh profited nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. Here is, in a nutshell, what speaking the word of God is for us. He says the spirit is the one that gives you, it quickens you or energizes you. So we need the spirit. He said, but when I speak a word, he said, that is spirit and life. He says, so when you give a word, the spirit of God is there to confirm it. The spirit of God sanctions it. Let me tell you what people mess up. And you know what happened when they messed up with Jim Jones following him? Is that at first they heard that they thought he was right. And then he threw a Bible down and said, I don't need this no more. And somebody inside of them, the spirit said, this ain't right. You need to go home. But instead they stayed. And we have to have wisdom enough to know when it's time to go. We have to have wisdom enough to know when it's time to turn the radio off. I don't need that mess in my spirit. I don't need to debate with them. They believe what they believe, but I'm going to let my light shine, and I'm going to tell the truth of the word. Amen? Amen. I like that. Amen. And so when we get down a little further, he says in verse 64, he said, but there are some of you here that believe not. Now notice this. Already, what happened is that there was a problem happening with the disciples. Not the disciples. We expect the religious folks, but not the ones who eat with him every day. Not the ones who talk to him on a daily basis. Not the ones that sleep in the same place he sleeps in. Not the ones that he walk with every day, share with every day, that he give them the mysteries of the faith when he wouldn't share with others. He say, it's not for them to know, but it's for you to know. Not the disciples. Now, that goes to show you that even the disciples can have trouble believing. Have mercy. And here we are in church, and we say we believe. Here we are. You know, I don't know how Sunday service goes over here, but we got people that say we believe, but then we can't go to nothing else. We can't go. We go one Sunday a month, and that's it. Come on and say amen. I'm trying to get you revived here. It's always hard the first night. It's always going to be a little whipping the first night. Amen? And so Jesus said here, he says that, but in verse 64, he said, but there are some of you that believe not. Jesus knows who's real and who's not. You know, and some of us, we try to get all suspicious about everybody. Oh, they ain't real. Look at them. Look at them. No, you just leave that alone. Jesus said, let me separate the wheat from the tare. He said, you just let them grow together, and you'll figure out the ones that's going to get blown away when the Spirit comes in. The Bible says that. He said, let me separate the wheat from the chaff. And whenever the Spirit or the wind blow, the chaff is blown away. But those that got some weight on them, those that are heavy in the word, they're going to stay. I wish I had somebody. Let the Holy Ghost do the weed now. You just come in here and you rejoice at the word. You come in here and you receive the word. You come in here and show that you appreciate what thus saith the Lord. Oh, glory to his name. And so then he says that there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, or who should betray him. Do you know Jesus already knows? And here we are trying to tell Jesus all about our trouble. Here we are trying to tell Jesus about our friends and family. Here we are trying to tell Jesus who did us wrong. And Jesus said, I know I let them do you wrong. But I want them, it's not for them, it's for you. It's to teach you a lesson. It's to get you where you need to be. It's to school you and to become a good person or to have a better character. I wish I had somebody. See, a lot of times we want to blame the devil for everything. And the old devil over there saying, me, I wasn't even in your neighborhood last night. But we trying to blame the devil for everything that people do to us. And God is letting it happen because he wants to teach us. The Bible says tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And we have a hope that maketh us not ashamed. I don't know about you, but I'm not ashamed because I know that he won't disappoint me. The same people he let put me in bondage is the same ones he'll bring to bring me out of bondage. I just trust him that much. The same ones that lie on you, they'll be the same ones that tell the truth about you. I trust him that much. Oh, come on and shout hallelujah. The Bible says, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Do I have anybody that say, I'm trusting God? Oh, come on and give God some praise. Oh, look at what he said here. The Bible says, he said, therefore I say unto you, that no man can come to me except it's given to him by my Father. In other words, you can't even come on your own. You can't wake yourself up. You can't even make it to the house of God except the Father bring you here. And so we need to give God credit where credit is due. And go on to say this. He said, he took this time. He said, many of his disciples went back. Tell somebody, I won't go back. I won't go back. I won't go back like a hog to slop. I won't go back like a dog to vomit. I won't go back because I know if I go back, a worse thing might happen to me. Do you know what the Bible says? That when a person is delivered from demons and evil spirits, that whenever he goes back, he'll become seven times worse. Oh, you remember he was just doing a little bit of drugs, but now he's doing everything. He's staying out in the street. What happened is he got seven times worse. You know how it was. He was doing a little bit of dirt, but now he's real dirty. Oh, come on and shout amen here. In other words, he got seven times worse. Oh, come on and give God some glory. And tell your neighbor, neighbor, don't go back. And he said they walk with him no more. In other words, they were just fans of his. They say, Jesus, we burning your jersey. We are not your followers. We're just your fans. While you were blessing us, we were all right with you. While you were helping us, we thought good of you. While you fed us, paid for our buffet meal out in the wilderness, we were all right with you. But now you talking crazy talk, saying eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. What Jesus was trying to let them know, let me give you some mystery. See, the Bible says there's the milk of the word, there's the meat of the word, then there's the mystery of the word. Here is the mystery. Jesus is the bread. He was the unleavened bread. But not only was the unleavened bread, but he was the Passover lamb that was cooked with the blood and all the innards inside. I wish I had somebody. So if you eat of the Passover lamb, he said, eat all of it. I need to eat his guts so I have the guts of compassion to love somebody. I need to eat his eyes so I can look at people like Christ looks at them. I need to eat his ears so I can hear what thus said the Lord. I need to eat his mouth and tongue so I'll speak the word of God. I need to eat his legs and feet so where he leads me, I will follow. Do I have anybody that say, I'm not a fan, but I am a follower? Say yeah. Say yeah. Oh, come on and shout hallelujah. Then Jesus
Jesus asked a question. Jesus asked a question in verse 67. He said, will you go also? And Peter ain't have much sense, but he had enough sense to say, he said, where shall we go? He said, you got the bread of life. I wish I had a few people that say, Jesus, I'll never leave you because you said you'll never leave me. Jesus, I'll never leave you because with your stripes I'm healed. Jesus, I'll never leave you because when affliction come, you said you'll deliver me. Jesus, I'll never leave you because you said greater love than no man had than this, than a man will lay down his life for a friend. Do I have anybody? But then Jesus answered. He said unto them, I chose 12, and one of you is a devil. He already knew it. This is before the Passover supper. He already knew it. He already knows who's going to walk off from him. You just need to say, I ain't the one. I'm going to stay right here. You see, when I realize there is a disciples ratio. What is the disciples ratio? Well, the disciples ratio says one out of every 12 people will turn their back on him. One out of every 12 people will betray him. Now look down your row, and you better count yourself as number one, because by the time you get to 12, that person right there, they're probably going to leave Jesus. That person right there is probably going to backslide. That person right there is going to throw in the towel and say, that's it. I quit. Even though Jesus came through 39 prophets and 42 generations, even though he died until the sun refused to shine, even though he hung his head in the locks of his shoulders and gave up the ghost, they still want to leave him. But the Bible says it doesn't matter if you want to leave him, because he still loves you. He said, greater love had no man than this. And he bowed his head and died. And they put him in a borrowed tomb. Why was it borrowed? He only needed it for the weekend. Because, Sunday morning, he got up with all power. Somebody say, yeah, don't call it a comeback, because he wasn't gone too far. He just went to hell, took hell, death, and the grave, and he went and got him out of the grave, and he came back to the grave, and he rose on the third day, ascended on a cloud, and the angel spoke and said, why are you gazing? This same Jesus, somebody say, the same Jesus. I don't want another Jesus. I know the mama's got a Jesus. I know the other folks got a Jesus. But the same Jesus that mounted the cloud over 2,000 years ago, he's coming back in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Somebody say yes. When the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ, they shall rise, and we who are alive and yet remain will be caught up. But there is a key. You gotta be caught up now to be caught up later. Say yes. Say yes. I know he's all right. Come on, tell your neighbor. Grab your neighbor's hand and say, neighbor, I may not know three things. I may not even know two things. But one thing I know, I know he's all right. Now say yeah, say yeah, I know he's all right. He's all right. I say he's all right. Say yeah, say yeah. Is he all right now? Won't God bless you? your life? Won't God heal your body? Won't he walk with you? Won't he talk with you? Won't he tell you that you're his own? Say, won't he do it? Anybody say, won't he do it? Say yes. Do you believe? If you believe, you ought to be a follower. Jesus said that if any man follow me, let him take up his cross and follow. If you're going to come after me, take up your cross. Now we take it up, then we complain about how heavy it is. Everybody is not going to like you. They didn't like Jesus, and they ain't going to like you.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of living.